All right, thank you, everybody. Just as Pastor said, it is the first time that we've been here, and it really was. We were quite surprised when we saw a church in Nebraska was supporting us, because we didn't even come here and ask or anything. It was truly a miracle. And the story behind it is our last name is Wright, and we're missionaries in Japan. And years ago, this church supported Don and Joanne Wright, missionaries to Japan, and they thought we were related. So. Not necessarily, but it still worked out for God's glory, We're still supporting. We love you guys, and we thank you so much. You've been faithful supporters now for 2.5 years, praying for us in our ministry. So thank you. Let's see. My family, since you guys have never met us, I'm Rob Wright. My wife, Christine, is sitting back there, and that's Joanna. She's child number 6. We have 7. So... And we have 6 daughters, so one son in the mix. And this was recently one of our daughter got married last month, our oldest daughter. So now we have 2 son-in-laws in the mix. We have 2 grandchildren. And also in the picture is my parents. And a little bit about me. My parents are Christian, so I was raised in a Christian home. I was born and raised in Los Angeles. Went to church there, and I received Christ young age, 8 years old in Sunday school class. I think it was like 3rd grade. I don't remember how old you are in 3rd grade. And then was baptized when I was 11 in the church. And one of my memories I have from church at that time, the pastor was preaching from Revelation, the church of Laodicea, about the lukewarm church. And the pastor was up at the pulpit, and tears were coming down his eyes as he's pleading with the congregation, don't be lukewarm Christians. Don't be lukewarm Christians. And I remember just sitting there and just praying, God, I don't want to be a lukewarm Christian. Don't let me be a lukewarm Christian. I didn't fully understand it at that time, but that was my prayer. I didn't pray to be a good Christian or a bad Christian. I didn't want to be those lukewarm Christians, So, and my wife, she was raised, her mom's a Christian, her dad is not. And a little bit about my wife, her dad was stationed in Japan during the Korean War. So she was raised with a love for Japan. He loved Japan. He told her stories about Japan, taught her how to eat with chopsticks. They ate sticky white rice. So she had a love for Japan. And then some converged missionaries came through the church from Japan, told stories about Japan, and my wife's heart was like, wow, Japan, how neat, I want to go to Japan. So we'll bump ahead here a few years. We met in our college Sunday school class, got married in January of 1985. At the time, I was in the police academy. I graduated from the police academy in January of 1985, and I was on my way to be a policeman. That's all I wanted to do. And our church bulletin in March, 3 months after we were married, there's a little notice in there saying, anybody want to go to Japan, be a short-term missionary for 1 year and teach conversational English to the Japanese? My wife's heart immediately was like, yes, I want to do this. I want to do this. I was just like, what are you talking about? I didn't sign up for this. I want to be a cop. But my wife's heart was set on Japan, and God worked on my heart, and I was like, yeah, okay, we can do this. This before any kids, or we weren't tied down with a mortgage or anything like that. So I was like, yeah, let's do this. The final step we had to do was to raise the money, and there was another young lady from our church going with us, and we had 2 months to raise $18,000 in 1985, and the church provided it. It was amazing, and it was just... That was the confirmation that God wanted us to go. And at that time, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 kind of became the verses for our marriage. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Because in my own understanding, I thought, what am I doing? What am I doing going to Japan? I've just got this career going. This is where I wanted to go, and going down a completely different path. not my understanding. I had to trust and rely upon God for that. So there we are in Japan back in 1985. We spent a year living in Tokyo. We worked for Don and Joanne Wright, who you guys were supporting at that time. So I got to know them, and they're doing well, living in Washington now, retired. But we spent a year there, and God opened my eyes to the world, to what he's doing in the world. Before that time, I was kind of just, I was born and raised in Los Angeles, Southern California, and that was kind of my world. It was just, sports, the beach, and being a cop. God opened my eyes to what he's doing in the world. Going and living in Japan was just a fantastic experience. And we spent a year over there, and we always said, when I retire, whenever I'm done with my law enforcement career, we're going to go back to Japan. We want to be missionaries again. We want to do this again. So it was, anybody have an opportunity to go on a short-term mission, I would encourage you to do it, because it will change your view, your perspective on everything. So we came home, had 7 kids, got in my law enforcement career. Life was quite busy. But about 2010, we started thinking, okay, we're getting closer to retirement. Let's start praying about this. Let's start praying about, should we go, should we not go? Where does God want to lead us? Well, then March 11th, 2011, they had their triple disaster, the earthquake, tsunami, and nuclear reactors. And that just overwhelmed them, and they needed help. As you know, Samaritan's Purse went in there, same people that do the shoebox ministry here, went in to do international relief. And I went twice with teams doing a short-term relief work in the tsunami-hit area. My wife also went and did relief work and visiting in the area. And when we came home from that, we were just like, wow, it's time for us to go back. It's time for us to go back. And it's not just that 18,000 people died in a matter of minutes in the tsunami, but it's just 18,000 people die every 6 days in Japan, and the vast majority of them have never heard the gospel message. So the current state of Christianity in Japan, I'm not going to read through those stats, but I'll just tell you, the vast majority of Japanese, probably 90%, go through life never going into a church, never hearing the gospel message, never meeting a Christian. There's not enough Christians in Japan to evangelize their own nation. So it's a nation that needs help, and it's a nation that still needs missionaries to come and help them. I often get asked, what is probably the biggest reason the Japanese haven't taken to Christianity, like China has, Korea has, but Japan has not? And the number one reason always comes back to harmony. Japan's a small country, super crowded, a lot of people. Living in harmony is so important to them. That would be their number one trait. Americans, we value our freedom. We want to be free. Japanese value harmony. They want to live in harmony and peace with everybody. And to become a Christian, you're going to break disharmony amongst your family, your work, your neighborhood, and your ancestors. They have the ancestor worship. So that would be the number one obstacle that for the Japanese to come to Christ, harmony. So again, I had to come back to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. We started the process of becoming missionaries. We got accepted by Converge. And, my law enforcement career, I was always testing to try and get promoted, And for about 8 years, I was trying to take the jump from sergeant to lieutenant. So August of 2014, the sheriff, I work for the Santa Barbara County Sheriff's Department, the sheriff calls me into his office and he says, Rob, I want to promote you. He goes, but I understand you want to do this missionary work. He goes, if I promote you, I want a 2-year commitment. And I go, man, I'm sorry, Sheriff, I cannot give you a 2-year commitment. I can't do that. I don't know where God's leading us. And if God calls us to Japan and everything falls in place, I'm going to go. And he proceeded to tell me some stories, or I can tell you some other time. But bottom line is, I told him, I cannot give you a 2-year commitment. And he said, okay. And he just shook my hand and led me out of the office. And I went home and I told my wife, I go, well, I'm not going to get promoted. You know, it's not going to happen. I told the sheriff I'm not going to give him a 2-year commitment. Well, about 3 weeks later, I get a phone call from the sheriff. Rob, I'm promoting you to lieutenant. I just went, wow. I was so surprised. I was shocked, you know. But God worked that out. But again, making that promotion to sheriff, I would have gotten a, you know, it's like a 5% raise for 5 years, you know, so it would have been a 25% raise after 5 years and adding to my pension and everything. But we just said, you know, my wife and I, we talked about it, and we just said, no, God's calling us to Japan. The pieces are falling into place. Our support is coming in. There's no way we can stop this. There's no way we're going to stop this. So once again, I had to say, okay, God, in my understanding, this doesn't make sense. You know, in the world's understanding, this doesn't make sense. A newly promoted, going to get nice raise and add to my pension, but that's not what God wanted me to do. So I took an early retirement, and let's see, we arrived in Japan. Couldn't take all of my kids, they're all getting older now, but I took my 3 youngest, Rebecca, Joanna, and Lydia. And I'll tell you a couple quick stories there of how rough the landing is when you're a missionary. You heard that, you know, living interculturally is tough, and it is. Do you know the number one reason why missionaries leave the field? The other missionaries. Missionaries are sinners, just like everybody else, and they have trouble getting along, and they have clashes. And we experienced that right away. But first I'll tell you, when we have a church in Hawaii that supports us. I know, what a bummer, huh? And when we left for Japan, we stopped there because we wanted to meet them. We hadn't met them. So our first night there, they got a little missionary room they let you stay in for free. They gave us a car. I mean, they were super nice to us. And we come back that first evening, and my youngest daughter is just bawling. And she's going, I just want to give you all my money and send me back to California. And man, that just broke my heart. You know, as a dad, we want our daughters to be happy, you know. We want our daughters to be, you know, our daughters are our little princesses, right? We want them to be happy. And to see your daughter's heart broken and knowing, wow, I'm kind of responsible for this. It just broke my heart, you know. And then when we got to Japan, you know, we land, our team meets us there, and it's all, yay, you're here, congratulations, take you to dinner. And then they had a single missionary guy take us to our house, and he dropped us off, and we walk into our house, and there's nothing. I mean, you know, here it is, we've been flying all day, it's like 10 or 11 at night, we get into our house, and there's no beds, no pillows, no blankets. You know, we're just like looking around at the floor, and okay, I guess we're just sleeping on the floor, and had our jackets kind of used as pillows or as a blanket, and now all the kids are crying, you know, and everybody's going, oh my goodness, what's going on, you know, and it was just, and you know, it was an oversight. The missionaries have apologized to us, but it's just that idea that missionaries, you know, things happen, you know, on the field, and it's not always easy and rosy. There's hard things that happen. The next day, the single missionary guy took us out, showed us around, and got us set up with a couple of things, but I like to say he was voluntold to do this job. You know that term, voluntold? You really don't want to do it, but someone tells you to do it. Because we're jet-lagged, we're tired, and he was usually 50 paces in front of us walking. And turn around, and he'd be looking at his watch, and he'd be like, oh my. And one time we walk onto a train platform, and my wife goes, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. And trains, you know, come every 5-7 minutes. And he looks at my wife and goes, you don't have time to go to the bathroom. You know, I mean, conflict, right? It happens. My wife didn't listen to him. I went to the bathroom anyways. And she walked away, and he's all, man, I don't understand women. I'm never going to get married. And I kind of want to say, you know, yeah, prophet has never spoke truer words. But again, you know, we've worked through all this, you know, and it's all good. But there's conflict. It happens. Missionaries are sinners, and we live in a fallen world, you know, and these kind of things happen. So we've gotten over that. So these first 2 years, I don't know if you can see that very well. The first year was Chris and I dedicated to language study. So you probably can't see that. This is your verb conjugation, right? So it's been quite a challenge. I like to tell people I have graduated from preschool of Japanese language and I'm ready to go into kindergarten. It's a difficult language. 2 years of language, well, actually we had a year of language study, and then this last year we did part-time language study because we started working with a church. There's an interesting story behind this kanji. That's why I put it up here. Kanji is a caricature, and there's a meaning behind it. So this is the caricature for righteousness. Gi is the word. Kanji was invented in China probably before Christ. And the first missionaries to China were the Nestorians, probably about the 4th century. So it was about the time the kanji was being developed and everything. But this word righteousness, it combines the two caricatures of lamb and me. A lamb over me equals righteousness. Who would have thought of that? If you were to think of how can we make this word righteousness, who would have ever thought of putting a lamb over me? Was it the influence of the Nestorians telling them about Jesus Christ? Or did it predate that and go back to them knowing the Old Testament story of the sacrificial system that God set up in the Old Testament? I don't know, but it's very fascinating. And there are several kanji that are like this. And the Japanese don't know this. They only just is rote memorization. Memorize, memorize, memorize. So this is just one little way you can kind of pique their interest in Christianity. Did you know that that the kanji for righteousness is a lamb over me, and that probably has some sort of biblical origin? And they're just like, wow, they don't know that. It's very fascinating. And I have a few more like that, but my notebook's in Japan, so I don't remember them. Like I said, our first year was English studies, Japanese studies. Our second year, they asked us to start working at a church. My wife and I, obviously, you can tell we're older. We're not going to be 30-year career missionaries in Japan. We're 6 to 10 years is our time frame. So they said, okay, a year of language study. Now let's get you into a church and start working and start getting your feet wet doing what you want to do. So we started working with a church in the greater Tokyo area. And we taught conversational English classes. We did American lunches. We did cooking classes. We did in English Bible studies. And all of those were bringing people into the church. This was our English conversational class. We ended up with a total of 4 Chinese ladies coming. I know Chinese ladies because one of the ladies went to our church. She said, I got 3 non-Christian friends that I want to invite, and they want to learn English. So they all started coming. And it's exciting when they're talking to the pastor, and the pastor's telling them for the first time they've ever heard the gospel message. And they're asking questions, well, who is Jesus? What is sin? Why is Jesus the only way? You know, they're asking good questions, you know, and that's where I'm glad I've got a pastor fluent in Japanese who can explain that to them, because I cannot. You know, our job is to be the Americans, set up programs to get them into the church, and then as they ask questions, the pastor can answer their questions. So that's what we did for the last, from January to July, we were working at the church. So what's next? When we go, our plan is to go back in February. It'll be a 6-month home assignment. We went through a process of matching us with churches. And to make it abbreviated, we're going to go work at a church that's 7 hours south. of us. We had 5 churches ask for us to come work with them. We could only pick one, and it was sad to tell those 4 churches no, that we couldn't. So this is my recruitment. If anybody wants to come to Japan and be a missionary, there's 4 churches I know of that would love to have you. And we're going to be moving out of our house. It's a mission-owned house. You don't have to pay rent. 5 bedrooms, 1.5 bath, about 800 square feet. What more do you want, right? On a zero lot line, you know, I mean, you step out the front door, you step down the steps like that, and you're in the street, you know. Hey, that's Japan. Everybody, the kids' friends come by and they love our house. They all want to move to our house. Oh, your house is huge. It's great. We love it, you know. But compared to American, well, not so much. But it's a great house. It really is. So we're going to be moving to Shingu. Like I said, it's about 7 hours south of Tokyo. And we'll be out on the coastline, which for a guy who loves the ocean, what a bummer, huh? Sometimes God takes you where you want to live. The town we're living in, Shingu, means new shrine. This is what it looks like. This is rural Japan, right? Look rural to you guys? It's a town of about 27,000. There's 4 towns in the area, probably about 100,000 people in this area. And this picture was taken from up on the hill from this shrine right here, Kamikoto Shrine. In the Shinto religion, which all Japanese are Shinto. If you're born Japanese, you're just automatically Shinto. They believe thousands of years ago when the gods came down, they touched down on this rock. So they worship this rock as a deity. And we've been told that coming to this area, the Japanese are very proud of their Shinto heritage, and that it's tough. You know, they're very proud of Shintoism, and that Christianity isn't well received. They're always polite to Americans, but they're proud of their Shintoism. So we will be appreciating all your prayers as we go move to this area. Our need. We're going to be, like I said, we were living in a mission house. We didn't have to pay rent. So now we're going to have to pay rent, like about $1,200 a month. And moving expenses. Probably going to cost us about $10,000. It's about $5,000 to hire movers. And then in Japan, you have to pay key money when you rent a house. It's like a gift to the landlord of, hey, thank you for letting me rent your house. Here's 2 months rent for thank you. And you have to buy things that aren't necessarily included, you know. Air conditioning, heater, curtains, some things aren't included that are included in American homes. So have to purchase those. So last but not least, this is a short video, it's like 2 minutes from the church that we're going to. And when that's done, I'll be done.